Check, check. Is it working? Any sound over here on these mics? Anything going?
Good noon, ladies and gentlemen. The House Special Committee on Education is now convened. Secretary, please take the roll.
Representative Ott?
Here.
Representative Wilson?
Here.
Representative Blunt?
Here.
Representative Garra?
Here.
Representative Jackson?
Here.
Representative
Seaton?
Here.
Chair Donis. Here. Well, thank you. We have the full committee today. We'll be resuming a discussion on HB 471, the education formula. There are a couple of issues and potentially some amendments. I would like to move this bill from committee today and on to the HES committee. With that said, Representative Garra,
yeah.
Did you have an amendment that you wanted to offer?
Yeah, Cody's handing it up. We discussed it the other day, so. I have it. Basically, for the record, the bill just, the amendment essentially just converts this bill into Representative Kapsner's and mine, my HB 477. It would add an extra $43 per student to the base student allocation over what 471 does. That's an extra $8 million. Briefly, the reasons are exactly what the school district said, which was 471 does a very good job at preventing schools from having to engage in additional layoffs this year. It's very laudable, but it doesn't do anything to make up for all the layoffs last year. And we've been going the wrong way for too many years in this state. And so by adding the extra $8 million statewide, we also start repairing the damage that our schools have suffered. And then I do think it's important to keep repairing the damage. That's what Section B does. It says funding shall go up inflation plus an extra 2% on top of that until class sizes are reduced to an acceptable level. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Garra. Representative Garra, I think it's fair to say that the number you're dealing with, 4,600, compares with 4,379 only in that it also includes a second issue, and that is the issue on the PERS-TERS funding.
Yeah.
So this bill does not address the PERS-TERS funding. Your amendment increases it an amount which includes the PERS-TERS funding. I think that complicates things significantly. And that's why we broke out the PERS-TERS funding issue as a separate issue. My understanding is that may be taken care of at the finance level for the entire state. It may be up to us to simply take care of that separately. So it isn't perfectly comparable to just saying you want to change our number to that number, in that it includes a wholly separate issue. So with that, do we have any, did you already move your amendment?
No, is it amendment number one, Mr. Chair?
Yes, it is.
I move amendment number one, and just to respond, I didn't want to get into this, but I just believe it's much more appropriate to fund this PERS and TERS shortfall in the base student allocation because it's going to recur next year and the year after and the year after and the year after, and I think the only reason we have goodwill by maybe some of the members of the legislature to do anything on education funding this year, and I don't think that includes the members in this room, but there's extra will sometimes in an election year that won't be there next year. And next year we're going to be here all over again if we fund PERS and TERS separately this year and don't fund it for next year. So I think it's better to put it in the base student allocation. Plus, by increasing the base student allocation, you increase the amount of money local school districts can contribute to their own schools. So.
Additional comments, Representative Kapsner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to stay focused on the amendment, but you did mention that we have other vehicles to address PERS and TERS, and I was wondering if you could tell us more about that before the vote's taken.
We are planning on a separate bill. We don't have the number on it yet, but expect to bring that forward that deals with PERS TERS. However, I heard in the interim that finance is considering taking care of the issue for us by funding not just education but the entire state. That conversation is not over yet. I need to really look that. If the state will not do that, as has been mentioned, then we'll come forward with PERS TERS for just education. If the state is going to take over, then we won't.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm obviously going to be voting in favor of this amendment. in light of the fact that we do not know what is going to happen in the future. I think we should highball this because we don't know what's out there, and this figure can be readdressed at a later time if those other problems are solved. But I'm in strong support of the 4,600 figure.
Representative Wilson.
This might help a little bit, Mary. What I'm planning to do, because this committee can't do it, is do a committee substitute. A HES committee can, and I'm going to do a committee substitute that will take care of education presenters. I'm going to put a bill in through my committee to do that.
So it'll be introduced by committee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Ogg?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'll be speaking against this. I am speaking against it. The subcommittee that I worked on passed a bill to this full committee that deals with the language on the PERS and TERS. And this committee was reformatting that into a committee substitute or a full committee bill. And that's the process that's taking place right now, which Representative Gatto was speaking to. So the two vehicles are here, and one's being worked on. And so it's not out there. It's not a guess. It's not some mirage waiting. It's happening. And the bill that's in front of us was put together as a companion or as, you know, going down the track together. The language here, we looked at the formulas in a subcommittee and just exactly what would happen to a greater extent or lesser extent if you ran the PERS and TERS cost into the formula. And some schools benefited quite nicely. Some schools suffered. And the subcommittee wasn't willing to go down the track of having some people suffer to a greater or lesser extent. And so it was decided that in order to have those things run at cost, you couldn't run it through the formula. And what was the responsible financial thing to do was to fund the PERS and TERS at cost so that each district got its cost taken care of. That's one of the main reasons I supported going to different tracks. And so this amendment goes back on what the subcommittee recommended to this committee. And I can't support this.
Representative Seaton.
Yes, Representative Ogg covered some of the same territory I was going to cover. That, you know, we found out that the North Slope would lose $400,000+ in equivalent payment if this went through, if PERS and TERS went through, and the Kenai Peninsula would gain $225,000 above their PERS and TERS cost. So this is quite dramatic cost shifting away from what we're trying to cover if we try and do PERS and TERS through the formula. So, you know, I don't think this works, and so I'm going to be voting against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seaton. Representative Kaftner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand, and I do appreciate the work that the subcommittee did. I know that was a lengthy process, and a lot went into that. I think the meat of this amendment, though, also addresses automatically inflation-proofing. That's, I think, the larger issue beyond PERS and TERS. And I think, without a doubt, that it's amazing to me that we inflation-proof the permanent fund, but we can't inflation-proof education. And even when we had a lot of money, it was controversial, but I think if you look at actual dollars available to schools, it's just a fraction of what it should be, especially in light of No Child Left Behind Act and not a lot of funding attached to that act, and the exit exams and all kinds of other things. So I think my yes vote on this amendment will be especially in favor of inflation proofing.
Representative Kaftner, thank you. And Representative Wilson.
Just one more comment. I guess my feeling is the reason I want it to be a separate bill is because I don't want to jeopardize the funding that we have in the bill that we've got before us. Because when it gets to finance, I don't want them to say, well, there's no way right now that we can do this 2%, and so we're not going to deal with this. And I don't want to jeopardize the funding part that we've got in place now. If that's in there, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I just don't want to jeopardize what we have right here.
Sorry. Did you, Representative Guerra, have another comment?
Yeah, just to respond to the points that were made, Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that it's clear on the record that that we do address the TERS and FERS problem that Representative Seaton and Representative Ogg mentioned. This bill in total gives schools an extra $8 million more than a separate TERS-PERS bill and HB 4471 put together for the reasons that I've discussed. The other representatives are correct that by rolling, if they rolled HB 471, which and the PERS and TERS amount into one bill, a very small number of school districts would not receive enough money to cover their PERS and TERS shortfalls. But this amendment, by bringing the figure up to $4,600 total, by providing an extra $8 million into the foundation formula, actually gives every single school district in the state, A, enough money to cover their PERS and TERS shortfalls, and B, extra money to cover teacher shortages. And frankly, to the extent we were concerned at all, if this $4,600 figure went forward, that even one school district was short-funded any amount of money for their PERS and TERS amounts, then I think we would just do an extra amendment on the floor to account for that. But I don't think that's the case. By having the extra allowance here for $4,600 amount instead of the equivalent of what the committee suggested, which is $4,557, by adding a $8 million, you do protect those school districts that that would otherwise not receive enough PERS TERS money. So we did an analysis, and every single school district in the state would receive substantial additional education money on top of covering their PERS TERS shortfall with $4,600 amount.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. Actually, I think the schools that are at the base level of 1.0, such as Anchorage and Matsu school districts, would receive an adequate amount to cover the PERS TERS. Within the formula, then school districts that are more remote would receive additional money beyond their need to cover PERS TERS. So in fairness, the PERS TERS issue is an issue that is spread uniformly across the state. All the districts have the exact same cost for each retiree, and so it seems more appropriate to go ahead and just fund PERS TERS as a block rather than to try to have each district accountable for a portion when the formula allots the money to each district differently. So any more testimony from the committee here?
Question.
Representative Ogg.
Just asking a question.
Oh. Call a question. Can we have a roll call on the amendment?
Representative Ogg?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Wolf?
No.
Representative Gara?
Yes.
Representative Capser?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Chair Gatto?
No. So, the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I'd like to just pose a little typographical cleanup stuff here, amendment. And that amendment would read that on line 6, and I believe we had done this before, it just didn't happen to get put in here.
And
on line 6, after comma, insert the words beginning July 1st, 2005, comma. And then on line 8, changing 2005 to 2004. It just seemed that some miscommunication happened between the time of drafting and back and forth. That will put it back to where it was.
Thank you, Representative Ogg. So we would then need an amendment to cover those two changes.
I move the amendment.
You move the amendment. Okay. Is there any testimony on the amendment from the committee? Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, the amendment passes. We now return back to the original bill, 471. As amended, at this time, I'd like to hear testimony from, go first to Homer. Debbie Poor, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Welcome, Debbie. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify. I'm in favor of House Bill 471. However, I am also concerned about how this money might be diluted as it goes through the process. And I want to caution that this is not enough to give our schools full funding. For 10 years, schools in the Kenai Borough have been robbing from their programs to try to keep the schools in operation. to regain the ground that has been lost. We desperately need stable, ongoing funding for public education in Alaska. And as I stated a year ago, I'm in favor of state income tax to support public education. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie, and appreciate that. And for all others, in the interest of getting this bill passed out today, I'd like to have you limit your testimony to 3 minutes if you can. Next is Kodiak. Dave Jones, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Your name and affiliation, please.
Yes, my name is Dave Jones. I am the Director of Finance for the Kodiak Island Borough School District, and I'm also a father of three children in the school districts in Kodiak. I was under the impression we had a minute, so I got a pretty short one here for you, which is probably welcome. I just want to say that the base student value increase enables the school district in Kodiak to basically maintain the programs we have in place for the current 04 school year. It doesn't allow us to make up for the cuts we had in the previous year, but at least allows us, for the most part, to maintain what we have and bring it forward. And that's a welcome thought in the last 3 years of cuts that we've looked at. The inflation proofing on this bill is essential for school districts. We face every year health insurance, workers' comp, liability insurance increases, those types of increases that have been eating us up, and we've had to make cuts in other places to do that. That will allow us to be able to continue again as we go down the road each year, not looking to say, okay, what are we going to cut out of our own program this year to be able to just survive another year. But the inflation proofing is essential, and I am very glad to see that's being put in the bill. The other thing is the first TERS. I'm glad to hear that you're talking about taking care of the first TERS in another place, and I hope that's done. We just need to remember that first TERS is not a single-year issue. It's a multiple-year issue, and I hope the solution where it's taken care of in the other places is done as well. And I'm going to throw my dad hat on, and I think everybody down there has heard me say this before. I have three kids in the school system. I want them to have the best education possible. I want their friends to have it, willing to pay for it. Give me an income tax. Give me some kind of tax. Give me the ability to pay for the education that I'm asking you to give my kids. And thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mr. Jones. You did have a cheering section here in the form of Representative Wilson.
Touchdown, right, Dave?
Yeah.
And I have a couple of people with us here today. Is Mike Ford? Is it Ford? Yes, it is. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to keep it to a couple minutes in the interest as the number of people that keep adding on to the number of people who want to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Ford. I'm a parent of a second grader here in Juneau. And I just have, I'll try and be very brief, a couple of good points. While I applaud the committee's action in increasing education funding, again, we feel it's not far enough. Particularly in Juneau, this increase will not bring them to parity for their budget today. So you've left us with still a budget gap. I think the PERS-TERS problem is recurring next year is a significant one, and that will leave you with this problem in the future. It would be nice to come up with a solution that you didn't have to come back. But again, I applaud the committee's effort to solve it at least for the next fiscal year. The classrooms here in Juneau are too crowded. We need to do something to reduce our pupil-teacher ratio. And as far as how we pay for it, I am in favor of a revenue measure. Come up with one and I'll support it. I'm willing to pay. And with that, I'll conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Kristen Romanoff, representing yourself. Thank you.
I'm Kristen Romanoff. I live here in Juneau, and I too have a second grader in the Juneau schools, and I am grateful that Representative Gara has introduced this bill and increasing funding, and I can just want to reinforce his statement about that we have ground that's been lost. I have a second grader. I've been working in the schools as a volunteer parent weekly for the last 3 years. And in my son's kindergarten experience, he had 28 children without an aide and one teacher. And I continue to see that pupil-to-teacher ratio being way too high, and I see it dramatically affecting the education of not only my son, but all the children in the Juneau School District. And I, too, agree that we are not going far enough, that this is a step in the right direction, but that we need to increase funding further. And my concern in separating out the PERS TERS and the state funding formula is that, again, we will have to revisit this every single year, and that the amendment to go up to $4,600 per student seems like a very good beginning. That's
Thanks,
all
Chris.
I say. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr.
Representative
Ogg. I just wanted to point out that this is a committee bill. It's no one representative's bill. So, straighten it out.
Thank you to the committee for introducing this bill.
Thanks. I'm going to go to Matsu LIO, Peter Burchell.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Gatto. The proposed
your affiliation. Peter, your affiliation.
I'm sorry?
Affiliation.
Oh, I represent high-risk kids from the state of Alaska, children within the Matsu Borough building. I'm retired, so I just get to be kind of the cover all bases here.
Go ahead.
I'm really alarmed. A couple issues. One is that the amount of increase proposed, this will not even restore the needs of the Matthew Borough School District. I'm also very concerned that TERS PERS goes on a one-week basis. As I stated last Saturday, I discussed with representatives 9 and 12 years ago that when you don't inflation-proof and plan ahead, and you have to keep coming back to revisit, then you end up with the situation we've had in the Valley. And you know, being a previous board member, we've been cutting for 9 years in the Valley, and now we're down to a really desperate situation. If we could please inflation-proof, that's wonderful, and in fact, to include the PERS and TERS, so we don't have to revisit next year and go through all the machinations that we're going through now. And it isn't a Matsu Borough issue. An educational issue statewide. I work with a lot of districts, and they're facing the same challenges as Matsu. And thank you, committee, very much for the time to speak.
Thanks, Peter, and thanks for the work you've done for kids in the past. Ron Rucker, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Affiliation?
Classified Employees Association president, and support staff for the Matsu Borough School District. And first, I want to thank the committee for allowing me to testify again and for all the work you put into this bill. And I want to correct, as I've done an email to Carol Gatto, the information I provided on Tuesday when I did the quick numbers, I've now been able to look at the deep numbers. But what I see here is that contingent upon the borough still being able to fund to the max, then our district may be made whole for this year. It doesn't do anything to resolve past year's problems. And I do understand the issue of the PERS TERS, and in one way it makes sense. My concern is that we have to revisit it in the out years and leave it as a potential hammer over the heads of the district if the legislature doesn't fund it in the out years. So I would encourage the committee to consider the 4,600 figure again, or something between the 4,379 and the 4,600, to give the district some relief. Again, thank you for your work and your efforts on behalf of education, and thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. This is Chair Gatto. I know, as the CEA president, you're probably aware that with an increase in the base student allocation, that the local effort is allowed to increase. It's currently at the cap, and that would be allowed to rise. And I'm sure you're aware of that. I'm estimating that the increase would be about $600,000. That should not even come close to solving the problems of the past 7, 8, and 9 years. But it is a motion in that direction.
That is correct, Chairman.
So thanks, Ron. Last person from Matsu is Chris Moore.
Hi, this is Representative Gatto, for the opportunity to testify yet again. I'll be very brief. Again, I just want to say thank you for all the work you folks have done on this. And in looking at the information that Dee has provided, it looks like, you know, you really did the math, and we're right there breaking even for this year. And as optimistic as I am, I say thank you. We do have a long way to go. And I just want to take what we can get and be happy, but I also want to know that work is still being done.
to work on a plan for the future. I just want to, the primary reason I wanted to testify was the amendment that was previously made, and that was the line 8 that does say July 04 rather than 05. I need to do all this work and find out it really was for nothing. And then just to say that I think there is a majority, at least in the circles that I come in contact with, for paying both state income tax as well as support for a cruise tax. And I just want to make sure you're aware of that and that we're going to continue working together to provide quality education to the kids in the state of Alaska.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. And I know you have put an awful lot of time in on this. It is kind of good, isn't it? I mean, an opportunity here to say that all of those programs and all of those people that were going to be cut back and some that were going to lose their job, that those people are probably certainly cheering this committee's efforts too, aren't they?
Absolutely. Thank you.
So thanks. And lastly, we have only one more person here in Kenai, Jeannie Hammond.
Yes, thank you. And I also applaud your efforts.
You're representing just yourself, Jeannie?
Myself and my children.
Okay, that's a lot.
I just want to clarify, the amendment I had in front of me actually stated that it would be increased to 4,422. And it also does not state anything about further terms. Is that correct? Was it the 4,600, which was another thing that was added at the last moment?
Representative Guerra has volunteered to respond, and so I'm going to allow that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're right to notice that. We changed it down here, so that where it says 4,422, it should be 4,600. Just so you know, the math is roughly that you can either do 4,600 and include the PERS and TERS problem, or if you back out the PERS and TERS problem and fund that separately, that would have been 4,422. But ultimately, I thought it was more important to roll the PERS and TERS shortfall into the foundation formula. So that's why we made it 4,600.
Okay, thank you.
Well, don't go away, Jenny.
No, I'm not. What I wanted to say was I like the fact that it would be equal to 4,600 and that there is a PERS and TERS issue out there, but also the fact that if it was rolled in, it does allow us to fund more at the cap like we are here at the Kenai, and that this issue would not have to come back again next year as if it was funded separately. So I would like you to relook at that and hopefully amend it. Thanks.
Okay, Jenny, and thanks
And also, what is the number of the PERS and TERS bill?
We don't have that yet, Jenny. There is a couple of things that are going on. If we do it strictly as a education bill, I believe we're looking for $33 million as a grant. If we do it statewide...
Plus
35.7. Yeah, okay. If we do it as a state grant, it'll be significantly higher. But if it's as a state grant, then the education portion will be included. So one way or the other, if the state is not willing to go that far, then the education committee will come forward with a way to rectify that.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Seaton?
Yeah, on that subject of the PERS and TERS, I think that we're still waiting to get a determination from the department as to how we can structure that so that it can, that PERS and TERS contributions that are given to the district will be able to be matched. So just for everybody's information, we are working on that.
And as Representative Wilson had said earlier, that will take place in the HES committee. Representative Wilson?
Jeannie. I just wanted to make a comment too. Your school system is very fortunate that when the municipality that it actually does fund to the cap. Many areas across the state, the municipality does not fund up to the cap. I don't think even Anchorage does. So you're very fortunate. So even though it will increase the cap level for you guys, and they will probably meet it. In most areas, that doesn't happen.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close public testimony and come back to the committee for additional testimony.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ogg.
I would, at this time, move CS for House Bill Number 471, Education, 23LS1645/H, as amended, with fiscal note and individual recommendation. And I don't know whether you want to include this with accompanying memorandum, or we can just do that as a separate issue.
I think that we can just include it without putting that into the conversation on the bill.
Objection just for a moment for discussion.
Objection from Representative Gura.
I guess I would just ask the committee members to consider this. Leaving aside the worry that if we put an inflation-proofing provision into the bill, it might receive opposition in a later committee. I'm not going to introduce another amendment here, but I'm wondering whether the committee would consider the extra $43 into the base student allocation to do what every single person has testified to, which is add an amount that helps them address last year's losses. The bill that we're pushing forward now, I think, is very responsible, and I was happy to work with folks on it to get it to where it is right now. But if there's any appetite among anybody here, I could speak now or forever hold your peace. If there's any appetite of anybody here to try and do what Representative Capstone and I have done and just add the extra $40 or $8 million into the foundation formula and leave aside the inflation-proofing provisions that some folks here are uncomfortable with, then that would be much appreciated. But thanks,
Representative Garrett. And Mr. Sweeney, Mr. Jeans, did you want to make any testimony, or are you just there to receive questions? Questions, okay. You did have an objection. Did you want to withdraw the objection?
Hearing that nobody jump up to the idea of adding the other $43, I guess I'll withdraw the objection.
Thank you. So with the objection withdrawn and seeing and hearing no other objections, then the bill passes.
Mr. Chairman, just following up, sense of the committee to send this memorandum along with background information forward with this.
Yeah, bill. And can you, for the sake of the committee, kind of summarize in a few sentences the content of the letter?
I will do my best. I'll try to be brief. Basically, what this says is that the House Special Committee broke for a subcommittee meeting. We held fairly extensive hearings, heard from a broad spectrum of folks. The testimony was fairly persuasive that the education system could not go any farther for cuts, and that it's time to turn it around. There was testimony on the record from various school districts around the state that the increase to hold folks whole, in some folks' words, or to stay the same or parity, was somewhere between $380 and $400. This was fairly consistent in the testimony. The subcommittee recommended using $388 as a figure because that was the number that Anchorage supplied us, and they are a multiplier of one in the formula. Out of that, there were two bills. One bill was for fully funding the increase for the TERS over last year, first TERS, and that was $35,789,260 actual costs going to each district. That was the intent. And also, the intent on that one is that, notwithstanding the requirements of the student formula funding, that this increase would be allowed to count it for purposes of the local contribution funding caps. That language is being worked on. And this bill, 471, the total amount of the increase is $42,500, and it increases student formula by 210 and codifies a 2% annual increase beginning in July 1st of 2005. The effect of both of them is a total of about $78,289,260. And the final part here was a recommendation from both the subcommittee and here that if we were going to suggest monies that weren't in the budget, that we should also responsibly suggest sources for those monies. And two sources were recommended to go up the line. One, utilization of the constitutional budget reserve excess from FY 2004 appropriations. And then the second source of monies that the committee felt could be used is the excess earnings from the earnings reserve account of the permanent fund. And a final note, the committee wanted to know, or just notes as it goes up, that the University of Alaska also has an unanticipated need for PERS and TERS obligation, and as it goes through the process, this committee urges the Finance Committee to fund that need as well.
Thank you. Representative Ogg, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. I didn't really realize it till yesterday, but the university people came around to my office yesterday.
They did.
And I didn't realize that their program is set up different than ours, their PERS and TERS, and their employees, if in this situation, not only do they have to pay some back, but they don't have to pay as much back because their employees have to also pay something back. Where in the state PERS and TERS, the employee doesn't. So the university is in a little bit of a different situation because it doesn't all lay on them. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I didn't realize
that. It is. They did ask us to include the university into our PERS TERS bill, and if it goes statewide, then none of that conversation is necessary. If it doesn't, then that's a consideration we'll take. With that in mind, I certainly want to thank the subcommittee for the very intensive work that they did. We've all received, I don't know, if we added up all the emails and letters and postcards and personal conversations we've had, it's probably, anybody want to take a guess? How many thousands would it be? So we've had a substantial amount of input from the community, and we are feeling quite good that this bill addresses the issue that the community asked us to address. Representative Gara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just say that I'm intrigued by the letter. It doesn't take the direction that I wanted it to take, so I don't think I can sign on to it. But if it takes the direction that a majority of this group would want to take, that's fine. I think it's completely obvious that there's over $100 million of leftover money that the legislature intended to spend last year, that the governor intended to spend in the constitutional budget reserve that they didn't have to because of high oil prices. I think that money goes straight to education. I agree with that part. We should put it right into our schools. The other part about whether you solve the fiscal gap based on permanent fund earnings or what I would consider to be a fair increase to oil taxes or any of the other many proposals that are out there on the floor, I guess I don't want to pick one over the other right now, and I'm one of the people in this body that thinks that we will fail the public if we don't debate every single one of those provisions out on the House floor. So my approach for the letter was...
Just curious to see if you're now debating the fiscal gap or just this letter.
Well, Mr. Chair, frankly, to be fair, you're proposing in this letter to solve the fiscal gap through permanent fund earnings. And I'm saying that I'm not necessarily comfortable with that. I know the way the majority works around here. We only get to vote on the issues that the majority says we can vote on. But as a minority member, I'm telling you, I think we will fail the public if we don't put every single fiscal proposal out on the House floor for open debate, where we can discuss all of them and vote on all of them in open public. And right now, I guess I'm not comfortable just picking the ones that the folks in the majority want. So,
Representative Kapsner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I found it interesting also that excess earnings from the earnings reserve account of the permanent fund is listed on here, and when all the people that we've heard testify today said, I'm willing to pay a tax to see that my kids get the proper education. So I agree that I think this is, I think something more vague is more appropriate, like we're willing to explore revenue generators, but I don't think we have to say which ones we support and which ones we don't. Or we could say all of them. I mean, we could start talking about a road tax on here.
I don't think that he said which ones we don't support, but I'm sorry, Representative Seaton was earlier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's identified here are two sources that the legislature currently has available to it right now to fund this education bill that we're putting forward. It's not a question of putting forward another bill to establish a tax, to change a tax structure in the oil or cruise ship tax or anything else. These are two funds that are currently available to the legislature right now. And so what the subcommittee went forward with a recommendation is to identify sources of funds that are currently available to the legislature to fund the increase, the $80 million of increase that we're asking for education. And I think that's appropriate. I am not at all thinking that what we are saying here is we shouldn't have the discussion of an income tax rating, but those are not established now. They are not a way that we can fund this now. And I think that it's fully responsible for us to identify every source that we're willing to tap into that is currently available to the legislature. And that's why I think this language came out of the subcommittee.
Thank you, Representative Seaton, and well put. I mean, we were asked time and time again, and where do you propose that this money is in the budget? And I believe that's the answer to that question. Another question might have been, and where do you propose the money in the future will come from? Separate question. And so I believe this letter did answer the initial question. With that, we've done it in a very good time, and I appreciate everybody and everything that's happened. With that, this meeting is hereby adjourned.